But if you stop sinning in your heart, don't get so full of yourself. You're not impressive to God. I'm impressed. I am. But God, to him, it's like, well, you know what? I see the inside. I see the outside. And it doesn't make a difference to me. You're still sinful. You still need my help. You still need a savior. And that's why they were angry with him for basically saying, you need salvation. They wanted the Messiah to come and be like, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I want Jesus to come to me like that. But I have this idea of what it's going to take. I've got to be like him, inside and out. That's why the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says, cleansing ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7, first verse. That's what that says. Think about it. Now that's an idea, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That's not something Christians do, is it? Well, it should be. If the Pharisees should have been doing it to inherit eternal life, I sure ought to be doing it. Unless I want to wind up like the Pharisees. And I tell you what, there's a lot of Christians out there that don't think they need anything. They don't think they need a physician. They don't think they need anything more than what they have. They're standing on the pinnacle of the temple. Look it, I can throw myself down and be saved. I can sin and be saved. I can just be wicked, 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 and I'm still saved. And ministers have taught them, like Satan. The ministers of Satan say, oh, all you have to do is this. Trust in this. That's it. He'll bear you up in his wings. His angels will save you. They'll come and bear you up. You won't dash your foot against the stone. Don't be deceived. I'm telling you, don't be deceived. But rather, give alms of what you have. Give things. And that makes you outwardly clean. Water, washing, God isn't so impressed that you've got dirt on your hands. It's more of the, you've got cash on your hands. Give it away. You've got excess. You've got excess, because excess dirt is like excess earth on you, you know? You've got excess of the earth. I've got more goods than I need. I should give some away. I've got more money. I don't need it. And that'll clean things up for you. Now you've gotten rid of the filth, the covetousness, the greediness, the wickedness. He said you're full of greediness. That's what ravening meant. You know, the idea of a ravening wolf is a greedy wolf, hungry. And they were that way. He saw this man as loving money. And he seems to be indicating that. He said, you have too much money. Why don't you give alms and then you'll be clean? Verse 42, but woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe of mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. These woes are something that Jesus goes through in Matthew 23. You know, and of course, some people say, like, look at Luke didn't get it right, or Matthew's wrong, it's a contradiction. Jesus probably said, what are you Pharisees, 1,000 times. As John said in the closing of his gospel, if we were to write down everything Jesus did, the books wouldn't fill. The world couldn't contain the books. And then, which is a hyperbole that means, look it, there's a lot more. And that's why the whole conflict in the accounts just accounts to, look at the chaos of the times. There were people pressing him. He was going here. He was going there. He was in Jerusalem. He was in the city. Days, weeks, months. You know, so, and people hearing what he said. He said this. He said that. You know, I remember him saying it like this. I remember him saying it like that. One man, you know, Matthew presenting basically his account. He was an apostle. Mark, he was a young man who was among them. An early disciple, right through to the end. Luke, someone who came along with interviews. And John, another apostle. You know, and so these accounts differ because Jesus said it in different ways so many times. You know, people may say to me, Paul, you refer to that making your calling and election sure in 2 Peter 1 all the time. But you know, each time I refer to it a little differently. And that's the same kind of point. When he says, woe to you Pharisees. Yeah, I know in Matthew, I mean, I've memorized it. He says, you know, you judgment, mercy, and faith are the things they passed over. He just says judgment and the love of God. But the love of God is mercy and faith. The love of God towards man. And the love of God of man towards God. God's mercy towards us and our mercy towards each other. Our faith towards God and God giving faith to usward that we might have faith. Because it is not in man to have faith except God give it to him. And as you can observe, not all men have faith. They were so concerned of tithing. What is tithing? Churches talk about tithing all the time. You know, it's basically, it was their, in Israel, they had a tax, and it was for the support of the temple, and it was basically the tax, because they had a state religion. And so churches, I don't see in the New Testament any call for tithing. What I see is a call for giving all you have, for distributing what you have. What you have, you know, in excess is to be distributed. It's to be given. You know, we got to use it for God's purposes. That's the way it says in the New Testament. Sell all you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And that's the attitude. And like I said the other day, you know, yeah, I'm not going to sell my microphone right now because God's called me to the ministry behind the microphone, right? I'll tell you what, though. I want to be careful I don't start picking up excess garbage of this world as yet living in the world. I don't want to spend my substance on things that don't profit. You know, wherefore do you spend money on that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Isaiah 55, he's speaking of something more than bread. Because Jesus is bread indeed, and more than bread. You know, you ought to have followed the law carefully, he says, but you ought to have not left this done. This is most important. Yeah, they, you know, they tithed of every little bit just like they were according to the law. And that was right in their religion. But I'm not a Jew, so I don't tithe of anything. As far as I'm concerned, I need to prepare my heart to be ready to give up everything. I don't think of it as just like, oh, flippant, easy. It's not so easy. Christianity, we are not constrained. We have liberty. We have liberty in Christ. Overall, all of the things I want to say, give away and this and that, I don't want to constrain you to one particular thought. I got to give away all my stuff. But don't hang on to it in your heart, okay? First of all, but let's remember the liberty we have. We have liberty in Christ. According to the time, according to the leading of the Holy Ghost. But do not use your liberty as an occasion for sin, as an occasion for covetousness, to hold on to things that we know we ought to give up. So, when I discount the tithe, it's not that I'm saying that gives you an excuse to just be negligent in giving of yourself to God. But it would be most important to look at judgment and the love of God. Judgment. Judgment. You know, people think, oh, judgment. That's bad. Judge not. You should never judge. You know, we should never judge anybody. Judgment is wrong. No, Jesus never said that. He was saying that with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. So don't judge. But here's the thing. And the Apostle Paul makes this very clear in Romans 2. He says, in the same idea that when we judge someone,